Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
The Ten Commandments have been all over it. The Ten Commandments are trending. How about that? But not in a good way. They're not trending well. In fact, if you watched the news this week, you saw that the United States Supreme Court sided with a lower court that ordered Broomfield, New Mexico to remove a Ten Commandments monument from the lawn outside of City Hall. And the civil liberty advocates herald this as a wonderful move forward in the separation of church and state. But the owner of the monuments, it was a group called the Four Corners Historical Monument Project. And here's what their intent was. They said, we want to have four monuments of things that help shape the influences of how we govern. The influences of the governing of our city. And so they had a monument of the Bill of Rights, the Gettysburg Address, the Declaration of Independence, and the Ten Commandments. And they decided that that was unconstitutional and that they needed to take that out. And the person who oversaw that group said, it's kind of sad when it seems like our history, facts, and truth don't seem to matter anymore. I'd read that story, and then I turned around, and on Wednesday, there was another story from a United Kingdom paper called The Telegraph that reported that they had just conducted research from the United Kingdom Christians, okay? From the Christians in the UK, and they found this report. Four of the Ten Commandments, they feel, were no longer valid, according to a YouGov poll. Now, ironically, the four that they said are no longer valid were the first four commandments, which are, you'll have no other gods before me, you'll have no idols, do not take the name of the Lord in vain, and remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. If you remember, the first four commands have to do with our relationship to God. Very good. Everybody gets a gold star. So basically, the Christians in the UK overwhelmingly said, we don't need those commands. It's interesting. Now, do we, as a nation, do we want to toss out the Judeo-Christian influence that has prospered our society? That's why we're doing this series. We've been on this journey walking together, and we've broken down the Ten Commandments to in a good way, not in a bad way, like throwing them out like everyone else is doing. But we've said that the Ten Commandments are good for us. They're a gift from God for us to help us have healthy relationships. Everybody say healthy relationships. Healthy relationships between us and God, and healthy relationships between each other, with us, with one another. It has, the Ten Commandments have presented us the most orderly and peaceable and prosperous society that has been. The Ten Commandments are about making healthy families that are the foundation of a healthy and prosperous society. When you want to break down, when you have healthy families, you have a healthy society. Healthy families, healthy society. And that's what the Ten Commandments are all about. And when we violate the principles of the Ten Commandments, I guarantee you this. You invite stress into your life. You invite tension. That's why we call this series Tension. Because when you violate one of the Ten Commandments, you're inviting tension, inviting stress. Now, as we looked at the calendar, oh my. This fell Celebration Sunday. It happened to be the seventh commandment. Now, due to the content, I've said, hey, kids are dismissed to children's worship. We're going to talk about adultery today. And I know a lot of us think the subject matter, it should be taboo and we shouldn't talk about things like that in church. The bottom line is I think the reason that we have so much mess up is because we don't talk about things like this in church. And so I understand I'm going to try to be sensitive today, but this is going to be a little bit of tall talk, so I'm going to let parents know it's going to be a little bit of tall talk. I'll try to, you know, be vague in some areas, but there's important things we need to address. So let's look at the seventh commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Let's all read it together. You shall not commit adultery. I heard a pastor preach on this one time, and he asked a little kid, what does it mean to commit adultery? And he said, it means to act like an adult. No, that's not adultery. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. What is, with every one of the commandments, there has been an underlying principle. Remember, like with murder, it was value life. And we talked about all these different commands. If you haven't been with us, go online. Please listen to these messages. Get them inside of your heart. They're important. And when we look at what is this underlying principle of the seventh commandment, it's this. God is serious about protecting marriage. Marriage is important. Family is important. Okay? Marriage is the basis of relationships, within a family context. And God has made and defined marriage. Understand that this is about faithfulness and keeping covenant. And as much as people want to say, oh, well, marriage is this and marriage is this, God made marriage. God created marriage. God is the one who defines marriage. So he is the author. It is important. If we look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 7, say, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. It's important. It's important that we understand God made marriage. Now, inside of marriage, when we're talking about this specific commandment, we're talking about physical intimacy. And it's a beautiful joining together. Physical intimacy in the confines of marriage, it is beautiful, it is wonderful, it is from God. Please stop blushing. People are kind of like, do we really want to talk about this today? Yeah, it's important that we do. Marriage is important and it is to be protected. Physical intimacy is good. It is from God and is made for the confines of marriage. Now, how many of you have gassed up your car in the past 10 days? All right. So if you've gassed up your car in the past 10 days, I want to give you kind of an analogy that I'd like you to think about. Okay? Gassing up your car is, in essence, you're sitting on a bomb. You have a tank of gas. And you have something that makes sparks, right? Now, I'm kind of a fire bug, and I'm glad that I've asked the kids to step out, because when I like to make fires, sometimes when I was a little kid, I'd take diesel fuel and put it on, and then you can kind of light it and have it go. But I remember running out of diesel fuel one time, and so I decided to use gasoline. I don't shave my head, it just kind of was like from that. So, you know what happens when you throw a spark in gasoline? There's a word for it. Oof. Haroof. It's kind of like my dog does. Haroof. And it just, I remember taking a coffee can, this is how smart I was, a coffee can, and throwing it, and of course when you get to the end, it throws up in the air, right next to you. And so some of it reached out and hit the flame, and at the same instance that it hit the flame, it went into said coffee can. And you know what sound it made? Very good, yeah. Haroof. It went haroof. It's explosive! And it was damaging, and it blew out of my hand, and I remember sitting there, and the first thing when you do something like that is this. Did anybody see that? It's not about, was that stupid? Was that smart? Was that good? There's only one thing you want to know. Did anybody see me do that? And so the moment, no, I had gotten away with that, and it was a good thing. But I did learn a lesson. I learned a valuable lesson, that it's dangerous. And man, that's like, so, why in the world would you put gasoline in a tank and then sit on basically a big sparker? Here's why. The engine block. Everybody say engine block. The engine block is a big, thick, walled piece of metal that makes it not only safe, but productive. Here's what I want you to know. Physical intimacy is designed, the engine block is marriage. Anything outside, it can be dangerous, can be devastating, it can be very, very, very problematic outside of marriage. And so God designed marriage kind of like this engine block in which we do. So be careful. Husbands, you look at your wife and say, you're my V8. Renita said, you're seriously going to preach on that this week? Said, you know what? Your newsletter article was about dog doo-doo, and now you're preaching this week. So you're having a banner week, and she's promised that she would go to the very back of the room, so I don't know where she's sitting right now, but I'm sorry, I hope not to embarrass you. She could not believe that we were going to do this. She's way in the... Oh, she's in the very back! Hey, you're my V8. Now she's going to leave. Yeah. Okay, so the King David, think about King David! King David, it was devastating. It was very, very difficult. When understanding that lighting the spark outside of the confines that God has created is damaging, it's devastating. It hurts families. I mean, if we read that account, and I want you to know today that God takes this seriously. Physical intimacy is something that is wonderful and beautiful, but God doesn't play around with this. Look how Paul says, he talks about this, because when we don't understand the confines of physical intimacy that God created, it destroys families, which are the building block of society. Because you know that hurt people hurt people. Yesterday at the cross country meet, I was talking to a principal of another student athlete, and it was a principal. He's a great guy from another school, and he was talking about, I don't know how much longer I can do this, because 15 years ago it was kind of like the kids were here and there wasn't that much drama, and in 15 years it's drama, and the kids are faced with so much. It breaks my heart, all of the things that are going on in their lives. I had the same conversation with my wife. Educators, please pray for your teachers. Pray for our teachers. Pray for our educators. It is rough. It is hard. And as a society, we're going down a way that is creating so much difficulties for the generation that is coming up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, the Apostle Paul picks this up and he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. God cleanses, God forgives, but God is serious. And I tell you what, that skit was right, man. I've had lots of times where I've seen the effects of lighting that spark outside of the engine block. And I'm not just talking physically, because there's physical, there's emotional, and what we're going to talk about today is there's also spiritual. And God is very serious about this thing. And now there is a culture war that's going on right now to tell us that sexual immorality doesn't even exist and that marriage is an antiquated institution that's no longer relevant. People just need to try it before they buy it. And I work for a car that does not work in God's confines of blessing unions that He created. There's a Wall Street Journal that was titled Cheap Sex and the Decline of Marriage. And the author cited a 25... Everybody's really paying attention to this one. It was like, okay, got my attention now. He said the author cited a 24-year-old college student from Denver who they interviewed. And this is not just like the exception. This is the norm. This individual said this: I have no desire to get married anytime soon because I'm not done being... And these were his words. I'm not done being stupid yet. I want to go out and be physically intimate. He didn't say that, a different word, with a million girls. We have a problem here. It's a large part of our culture. In 2000, there was a study of those married between the age of 25 to 34, and they outnumbered their unmarried peers by 55% to 34%. That was in the year 2000. In the year 2015, that Those figures have been reversed. Now it is 34% married, 55% not married. And it's not because people are not being physically intimate. It's because the covenant of marriage has now been thrown out in our society. I've heard a pastor once say, if you don't believe in spiritual warfare, just get married. I don't know how to take that. Except the fact is this, marriage is under attack. And sexuality is unleashed, and it's been affirmed by the American Psychological Association report that said 70% of college adolescents, you people who have college students or people going to college, which this stat hits me. I better be careful how I said that. This stat perks my interest. It says 70% of college adolescents report hooking up, which is involving some form of sexual activity, encounter, without any form of relationship whatsoever. And before people say, you really think that you should be talking about this at church? Yeah, I really do. Because when the church is silent, people have no understanding of where we stand and what is healthy. And this is not, and before someone goes off, well, pastor had a whole lot that he was yelling at today. No, you haven't understood. The base of this message is what we are for. We are for God's blessing. We are for strong family. We are for healthy relationships. Amen. And those come from what God has given us, the Ten Commandments. Culture, media, entertainment have all declared war on sexual purity. They mock and they make fun of people who make decisions and stand by them. We can openly mock a person like a Tim Tebow who has an entire base of saying, I want to keep myself pure. And I'm going to, oh, well, phew, we're so sick and tired of those holier-than-thou people. Okay. I understand. You know what? The past few weeks, I have just sat back and I've watched the news of Hollywood's outrage of this culture of sexual exploitation. And I want to sit back and I say, you've been the ones pushing this for decades. You've been making movies and you're saying, this is entertainment. You have declared war. And now all of a sudden you're shocked when the very things of which you glorify, you've sown the seeds and you're reaping the rewards. And now you're shocked about it. That's not to say that I don't think that this is a horrible thing that's happened. I'm saying by throwing out God's principles is why it's happening. I'm not shocked at the revelations. Now, Paul is serious about driving home this point. He's serious about these things. That Jesus needs to be Lord of your passions. Jesus needs to be Lord of all your life, and that includes your intimate life and your thought life. And those of you who say, well, keep the Bible out of the bedroom. No, you better go back to that. Because it's a beautiful thing. I was talking with Chaz this week, and he reminded me of a great point. That all of the Bible's heavy hitters, the Bible's big teachers, have talked about this topic specifically. Proverbs chapter 6, actually all of Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon is talking about staying away from the adulterer and the adulteress, excuse me, staying away from the adulterers and avoiding that. In Proverbs chapter 6, 23 through 33, look at what he says. I'm sorry, 32 through 33. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He wounds and dishonors will he get, and his disgrace will not be wiped out. Okay? We see that Moses, as what we're reading, is not silent on this. Paul picks it up. He says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one with her? For as it is written, two will become one flesh, and he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Solomon has a beautiful thing. If you read the Song of Songs, I was taking a premarital couple through counseling, and they were, you know, does the Bible talk about this? Yeah, the Bible talks about this. I mean, read the Song of Songs. Goodness gracious. Song of Songs has this one. So those of you who are not married who say, this does not apply to me. Yeah, it does. Because Song of Songs, three times throughout the book, it says this wonderful phrase. Do not stir up or awaken love before it pleases. In other words, keep yourself pure. If you light this fire, it's going to be dangerous. Until it pleases. What do you mean it pleases? Until it's pleasing in God's sight. I always joke with people. I say, don't start the car unless you're going to drive. Be very serious about, God is serious about purity. Paul exhorts the church, and now most of all, and I know a lot of us say, hey, wonderful message, super great, or whatever, but this doesn't deal with me. Okay, this is not in my realm. And this is how I was last week with the whole murder thing, okay? Here's what Jesus says about it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. And I just got a big whiff of lasagna. Wow. I'm serious, my mouth is watering. Okay. We're about done. Amen! Shoot free throws. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. Here's what Jesus' words. You've heard it said. Oh, no. I know when he says this, it's gonna go a little more deep than I anticipate. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. I hope that we're all good. I hope that we understand adultery bad, right? Ooh, boo. Boo adultery, right? Yes. We know that that's bad. And look, I get there are folks who've had some hard things in their life. I know that there is grace in God and God can forgive and God can restore. But bottom line, let's not get in those situations. Here's what Jesus said. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. Okay. Here we're back in the law. And here's where Jesus expounds on that. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he goes on to say, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't treat this lax. Don't treat this without a real understanding that it's deeper. He breaks and says, look, what do you look at? And I know that people say, oh, there's a victimless crime. It's pornography. Oh, which, you know, whatever I do on my internet. Oh, it's just easy. It's just easy. Oh, it's just pictures. It's just this. Look, according to Jesus, Jesus is equating this. And it's devastating. Look, there's some statistics here. Every second, $3,075.64 is spent on pornography in the internet. That is staggering. 35%, over a third of all downloads are related to pornography. 25%, one out of every four search queries are related to pornography. One third of porn viewers are women. And every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States. And about 200,000 people identify as addicted to such behavior. You think, wow, that's a horrible thing for adults. Here's the very scary, very, very scary stat. The average person is exposed to it at 9 years old. 9 years old. Viewing by teenagers has been directly correlated to confusion in relationships, difficulty in relationships. Infrequent users report feelings of loneliness and major depression. And according to the National Coalition for the Protection of Children and Families, in 2007, 47% of families in the United States reported that it is a problem in their home. Now here's the big stat. 300% higher infidelity rate with people who use that. I get it. You think I really look forward to saying this week? Wow, hey, I get to share this with people whom I love. Yay, this is going to be great. I do not I'm not enjoying this. But I think to not say it would be the larger indictment. Someone's got to make a stand. And when we just go week after week and we never mention, we don't know where we stand. So look, if you're caught in that, I get it. Look, let's talk. Let's work together. Let's not just stay there. Let's remove this whole thing. It's just not there. If it's there, let's deal with it. Understand this. Satan wants to take what God made as beautiful and twist and pervert it. But there is healing in Jesus Christ. There is healing in Jesus Christ. And it begins with your mind and your heart. Spiritual adultery. This is my second point. Genesis chapter 39. We know, and I'm just getting ready to wrap up here, because Joseph was being seduced by Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife was trying to lure him in and have this encounter with him. And here's how Joseph responded. And it's a great response that we should know. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say sin against Potiphar. He didn't say sin with her. He said sin against God. First and foremost, guys, you are God's. You are the bride of Christ. And so you have a covenant with Christ. Jeremiah chapter 3:20 says, "Surely as a treacherous wife leaves her husband, so you have been treacherous to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord." It's about our relationship with God first and foremost. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." God uses the analogy of walking away from Him as spiritual adultery. We can have adultery in the mind, we can have adultery in the body, we can have adultery in the spirit. Now back to how do we take this principle and how does it affect our lives? My last point. Praise God. Protect the marriage covenant. Protect the marriage covenant. Protect the marriage covenant. Come on, everybody. Protect the marriage covenant. And this is your covenant between you and God and for marriage in the body. Keep your marriage healthy. It takes work. It takes time. And I talk with so many marriages and they're like, "I just don't understand why this is so difficult." I'd like to tell you why it's so difficult. Because Satan wants to destroy what God has created. When you say "I do," you have a target on your back. God put you and your wife together. God put you and your husband together. And Satan wants to destroy you. That's why it doesn't make sense. And your emotions don't add up. And you feel like you're losing your mind and acting crazy. It's not just you. It's Satan. The best counsel and advice I can give to you is to walk alongside and say, "You're going to get through this. Satan is against you, but you can keep and protect your marriage healthy." And Paul gives some wonderful advice. Don't deny each other. "Pastor, you're seriously going to talk about this?" Yeah. Don't deny each other. I tell marriages, whenever I do a wedding, I tell the couple, never stop pursuing one another. And as quickly as you think, "Man, my marriage is just dead. My marriage is dead. I've got nothing in my heart." Let me tell you this. Don't follow your heart. Lead your heart. You can lead your heart into love and you can lead your heart away from love. Love is not an emotion. Emotions come and go. I used to like the Rams. I don't like them anymore. Yeah. But the Cubs, don't press it. Look, you can lead your heart. If you don't take anything away, if you're in a hard place, if you don't take anything away, understand that. I have seen God do amazing miracles in families. So don't deny. Don't cease to appreciate and pursue one another. And if you're like, "Okay, look, I'm single right now." You're not single. You are the bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. You're unmarried perhaps with another person, but you are the bride of Christ. So keep yourself for marriage and do not waken love before it pleases, to quote Solomon. Don't light the spark. Don't light the spark. There's an engine block. Boy, just a bad analogy. Wait for your engine block. In your mind, have healthy boundaries. Look, if you're caught up in stuff and how you view on your phone or your electronic stuff or whatever, look, get some boundaries. Come, talk to me. We will be extremely confidential and discreet. But let's get help. And if you're offended, come talk to me and I'll be happy to tell you why I think it's so important to talk about this today. Take your thoughts captive and keep your eyes on what is yours. And spiritually, here's the best thing I can tell you to protect marriage covenant spiritually. Obey the first four commandments.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.